Hey, welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. We have Bruce Thatcher with us right now, author of the book, which was then, and I still say is breakthrough even now. It is such an excellent example and will give you the historical information that you need to have to look at this immigration issue, the broken immigration problem that we have here in this country, as dysfunctional as it is. His book titled Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce is also the founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history to help us avoid making the same mistakes. Why not? What a novel concept, Bruce Thatcher. You're just way too reasonable. That's the problem, I think, huh?
Everybody pays close attention always, you know it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I'll tell you, I think Donald Trump has been paying close attention to some of the things that you've been talking about and been sharing for a long time, yelling from the rooftops, relevant to our immigration issue and some practical things. You know, like let's call time out first and, you know, get our hands and arms around this refugee problem and what has happened to our country. Particularly in the last, I'd say the last two decades, been quite dramatic, Bruce.
It has been quite dramatic, and the last two decades, and even longer back, one of the things that's marked our immigration policy and practice is that we don't enforce it. Mm-hmm. And that's the problems that come from that have just spiraled up and grown and become almost, seeming to many people, insurmountable. I was excited, really excited, when I heard of the two executive orders earlier this week on border security and immigration enforcement. And I not only listened to it very carefully and heard the reporters and the pundits sing out that we're going to build a fence or Trump's going to build a fence and then sing out all the reasons why he couldn't and why that won't work still. and the other factors that he put in there, stop and release, I went and downloaded the text of both of those executive orders.
Right.
Because I wanted to see if they really said what was on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They really say it. They say a lot more also. And what's most interesting to me and most encouraging to me is that those two executive orders are wholly consistent with Trump's immigration plan published on his website and his August 31st speech with his 10 points of immigration. I went right down that speech of those points and said, he's covered this, he's covered this, he's covered this. The executive orders right now are all about enforcing existing laws.
That's what I was going to say, Bruce, is that, you know, what's novel about this? I mean, it's like, well, we already have a law for this, so we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need to start using the wheel, right?
That's right. And these carefully are directed that way. Every one of the actions in these executive orders refers back to an existing law, cites it as the basis for the action he's ordering. And it's almost astounding when you read it to say, oh, my gosh, why do we have to have an executive order to enforce the laws? You'd think that would be normal, but it has not been normal.
Because we needed to counter the executive order that said don't enforce the law.
That's exactly right.
Right?
I've broken down these things into four categories, and one of them is countermanding. Exactly as you said, those executive orders that said don't enforce the law, and specifically, not all of them, by the way, some more is coming, maybe next week, but breaking down the executive orders that are countermanded, catch and release at the border, for instance, that's no more, that's ended. Block mass applications of this executive parole and asylum provisions, which are specifically directed to be on a case-by-case basis but have been used over the last 8 years in mass for whole categories. The the Secure Communities Program, again, being reactivated. The priority of the PEP program is canceled. And the executive order is canceling the 287G programs, which are hugely successful. They were hugely successful cooperative programs with state and local agencies. Well, those executive orders of the Obama administration have just been canceled. Mm-hmm. And lets the law, that lets the laws be enforced if we will. He also, the orders also are reactivating. That's probably the wrong term, but they're saying, okay, now we're also going to do things that have been authorized by Congress, but haven't been done, or at least haven't been done very much. And of course, the big deal is the fence at the border.
Right.
This funding, some fence has been built, maybe 600 miles or so of it, but 1,200 miles of the border are not protected mm-hmm. with any fencing of any kind. So Trump says, we're going to do what the law says. We're going to start building it again, and we'll request funding as we need it to get this done.
This border wall, Bruce, this says a lot. I mean, when you think about what the globalists are doing and how they're resisting this, and the people that are anti-populist, their reaction, I mean, it tells you that this wall signifies a lot more than what people are able to talk about.
Well, I think you're right. I think the wall, and you refer to globalism, which is a serious issue in this country, covering many, many, many fields. Globalism versus nationalism, and we have a lot of people throughout the world and in this country who think nationalism is an obsolete concept and a bad concept, and they want globalism in its finest idealistic form that says, okay, we're just one world community, and everybody should be as free in that community to go and do whatever they want anywhere, and we're going to do everything we can to make the United States part of that global community by breaking down all of our barriers, letting anybody come in. And the people who argue this cannot possibly be really thinking about all the ramifications of that.
Well, there's no consideration of evil and bad players in this deal, Bruce. I mean, if we're all singing from the same hymnal and we know all 56 verses of Kumbaya, that's one thing. It's not happening. It can't even happen in the Middle East. How in the heck is it going to happen here in the United States?
And the proponents somehow or other shut their eyes and say we are all singing from the same hymnal. Everybody in the world thinks exactly the way we do.
Well,
and they don't.
Well, listen to the Prime Minister from England, what she's saying. Listen to, and watch what's happening in other countries. There is this populist movement that's now being ignited, and I've got some ideas on that, and I want to run them by you when we come back and continue the conversation here, Bruce Thatcher. Bruce Thatcher with us, ladies and gentlemen. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more from Bruce. Stay with us right here on Bill Martinez Live.
The bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice.
I'll tell you, you know what you're hearing here is a CEO in action, a chief executive officer. One that we have been crying out for, I say, this country for a long time. Bruce Thatcher, what CEOs are known to do in businesses is they will take a look at the systems of an organization. If there's dysfunction, they will review it, and they have the ability. It is a God-given ability. It's truly a gift to be able to analyze and say these are the adjustments that are required. And this is what Donald Trump is gifted to do, and it's the gift that he's giving to America right now. things that people in the coffee tables across this great country of ours have been discussing, but we just didn't have a cohesive message and a voice that could lead the charge. And of all people, surprisingly, you've got this multi-billionaire who needs this job like he needs a hole in the head, so to speak. And he's adjusting. He's adjusting this country psychologically back to its founding roots.
When you go out and when you look at companies, not just Trump's companies, mm-hmm. but any companies that have sort of gotten lethargic and are not functioning properly, and they bring in a new CEO, and he starts making changes, there's always pain and screaming and hollering, and it's almost always the hollering and pain and screaming is by the people who have personally benefited.
Yeah.
They're the problem, and they're the ones who benefit because they don't have to work or do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think a lot of that is happening under Trump. And I just, like you, I just sort of said, here's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he's doing.
Right. Yeah. He's doing what good business people do. They take a look at the system and say, it's not working, it's dysfunctional. Okay, we all know that. Let's get it work. Because what happens in any kind of organization is you go down the road merrily, things are rolling, you're showing profit, things are increasing, you're doing well, and then all of a sudden you make a left, and maybe it's just a soft left turn, nothing radical, and you get down the road a while, and a good CEO, a good manager will come back and say, hey, let's look back, and when we were doing good, what were we doing? Let's go back to do that, and then we'll catch up with things, because they're always changing. There's going to be some adjustments made, and that is counterintuitive of the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy approaches this thing that whatever they decide, Bruce, it's got to be it's an issue of eternal life, like Ronald Reagan put it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, God forbid that we put something into action, and then we want to change it because we found through the process, kind of like what you're talking about with the immigration process, is that this is a process that we're going to, okay, let's re-implement the law. Let's do that. We got smart people there. They're experienced on the front lines. And we're going to get feedback, and we're going to adjust the law accordingly. What a novel concept.
Some of the most successful business leaders have been those who have really paid attention to what the people down on the floor have to think, because it turns out that the people down on the floor know an awful lot about how things work right and how things don't work right.
Mm-hmm.
And they listen to them. And I think we have now an administration headed by a man who has listened to the people down on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and said, you know what, we need to change, and we need to change a lot of things, and he's doing it. If you the typical growth curve of a product or life curve of a business or an organization proceeds with a lot of excitement and gets to maturity and then declines and things die off, but they don't have to decline as rapidly as they might.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting back to, I think we have a chance.
Yes.
I think we have a chance to get back to founding principles and stop the decline of this great nation of ours.
Exactly. Well, we definitely have been given a second opportunity, God willing, that we're able to see this. Bruce, not so much for ourselves. I think about our kids and our grandkids. You know, what kind of America was being, you know, handed off to them here not that long ago? I mean, it was rather bleak looking.
It was, and you're right. It's not for us. You know, we're going to do all right, you know, for the rest of our lives.
Right.
But kids and grandkids, particularly grandkids and on, they were born. They've been born into a land that was not the country that we had when we were kids and we were growing up, and so they don't have that. They don't even have that as a benchmark to say, gee, here's what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
They start out with a very distorted base.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Bruce, here's the reality of what they're dealing with. And then we send them to schools, and at the risk of laying out a broad brush here, and I don't want to insult every instructor at every university or every teacher who is well-meaning and that sort of thing, but I think they're equally frustrated when they see that our country has been hijacked and the curriculum has been formed and fashioned to be anti-American.
It is. I'm working on a new book, and that's one of the very root problems of exactly what we're talking about goes back to the schools and started in the 60s, when the schools started moving away from principles, and they don't even teach founding values anymore. There are exceptions, as you say, but the exceptions are exceptions, and we need to get back to those kinds of things. I sometimes talk to my grandkids and mention some of this stuff, and they just sort of look at me with glazed eyes.
Yeah. Well, the deal is, Bruce, to your whole point, you know, and you had written about this, that the number of immigrants living in the U.S. has increased 810%. And these are a little bit older numbers, but still that number is astronomical at 810% since current immigration policy began in 65. They now comprise 19% of the population, up from 5% in 65. So what's happened is you've got all these immigrants coming in that could care less. In large part, there's no requirement of assimilation anymore. They just come in. And so what happens is you got the tail shaking the dog. The system is trying to accommodate all these different thoughts and ideals, abandoning what the goal of America is all about. So is it any wonder that this has contributed to the morass and the confusion that's experienced now in our country and in the minds of our kids?
We need the immigrants. We can't get along without them, but we need them to assimilate. And we have countenanced and put in place anti-assimilation mechanisms throughout our society, so that immigrants naturally want to cluster together with their own, but they have historically assimilated and become Americans and become part of our country, and that's what we have to have them do to really be valuable and to not completely change the country around.
Exactly. And this is what's happened, and again, at the risk of sounding Islamophobic or, you know, whatever they want to call it here, is that we've got people who've come in and we've got enclaves. We're creating, like in Paris, these no-go zones within the confines of our own country, Bruce.
And we celebrate their things more than we celebrate our own national past.
Well, I'll tell you,
I think that's going to change. I really do.
I see the move coming back here, and this is going to be an opportunity for people who were in this country. You know, it's that age-old question they used to ask when a stranger came to town, Bruce. They say, "Hey, are you for us or are you against us?" You know. Why not ask that question once again? Bruce Thatcher has been with us, author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. He knows immigration, and this is why we love to have his insight and his wisdom here. Bruce Thatcher, thank you so much. 28 minutes after the top of the hour right now.